My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great day. We had our summer games draft last hour, so we've got Team Bell, Team Dukes. We're going to be talking more about that over the next few days as we'll be out and about at Game Changers up at Lake Lanier Islands, Pickleball Social, and then at Margaritaville. As some of these events will be going on. Also, if you're just joining us, Garth Lagerwey came on, Mike, and I think Chris posted this already, but interesting stuff about his approach now with the transfer window, which opens up July 18th for MLS. Mm-hmm. But we've got all this money, and he was talking about, this is the direction I want to go in.
And I've been dialoguing with a bunch of Atlanta United fans on Twitter. We don't call it X, but Carl's put them up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And look, guys, I don't get paid by Atlanta United. I pay for my season tickets. I pay for my tickets over the years. I said earlier I've gone to less and less games because I'm a little, you know, feeling a little disenfranchised with the product. So I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just telling you, if you look at Garth Lagerwey's track record, he won 3 championships with 2 teams, in Salt Lake, 2 with Seattle. And if you go back and Carl and I were looking at these earlier before Garth came on the show. The business model, and we use that phrase a lot on the show, but if you look at his, it's to have a core group of players who stay there for 7 to 8, maybe longer years.
Yeah.
And I just think as a fan, don't get me wrong, we'll always cherish the time with Miggy and Joseph was here for a while. That worked out great. But Almato, he was here, then he's gone. I just think from a fan, and I think especially for the casual fan, remember all those people that came into United in 18 and 19, then they went away? If you got a group of guys with the Braves, you know that Alex Anthopoulos has locked that team up for a decade. If you can do the soccer equivalent of that, I think that's great. So I'm just saying, Garth has a plan. He inherited some things with the roster that he had to clean up, things that were expensive that weren't really firing. He brought, you know, think about Yorgos. Yorgos was great, couldn't stay healthy, got him off the books and made some money. So I'm just saying he's trying to keep it competitive, and he's also trying to basically tear up what he inherited. So that's Carl threading a needle and turning a battleship around simultaneously. That's where it's at. I'm just saying, I've got patience with Garth because I think I see the end game if you look at what he's done before. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, and the designated players, guys, are always, for the most part, going to change. That's just the nature of it. But he's talking about the base core of your group where you have guys that you rely on. And I just feel like he's on to something there. Maybe we'll see the results of this as they start to spend some of this money in the transfer window. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got a lot more to get to here on the show coming up at 5. We will talk more about the Falcons and the Braves. Grant McCauley will stop by. Braves with a big win last night. If you didn't stay up for it, extra innings and 11, they win 5-4. They have won 3 in a row. And their last 4 games, they are trending in the right direction. 5.5 runs on average for the last 4 games. Guys, we've been barely scoring 3 runs a game. And so if that number can continue to go up, Mike, and we get some clutch hitting, now we'll be cooking, and especially heading into the All-Star break and then maybe even after.
Right. I mean, Eddie Rosario literally gets off the plane, hits a single, and it was, guys, there was nobody out. I'm sorry, two guys are out, nobody on base, top of the ninth. He gets on base, and then Murph hits that smash out to center field. So that's the kind of clutch we'd be looking for. Remember how we'd lived in the late innings, winning those games,
right,
coming from behind, two out rallies, and none of that has seemingly occurred this season. So if we can combine some of that clutch hitting with the pitching we already know is good, then I feel good about this, whether it's, you know, wild card or division.
I agree. All right, guys, plenty more to dive into. Big O, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
I don't know how good Alabama's going to be, but I do think they are going to be back in the mix. Listen, Caleb DeBoer, we said this, he's recruited great. And the irony for me is that everybody, you know, thought that Nick Saban was going to retire and then this thing was going to fall for 10 years. Kalen DeBoer has done a really good job of filling the void. We know Nick Saban's got an office right there at the stadium, guys. He's going to be consulting, and which means if they need anything or they need him to talk to a player or whatever the situation is going to be, they've got that resource. But, Mike, how are they going to be as a true playoff contender back with Jalen Milroe? And this is a question that's being posed by a lot of publications as they talk about Alabama, and they're saying it's up to DeBoer and his staff to find ways to maximize the talent that's been left behind. It's not as if Saban left the cupboard bare, right? I mean, they still have a lot of good players there.
And he brought guys in the transfer portal, too.
He did. He brought a lot of guys in. So it's about adding his personal touch. Overall, they're trying to do things the way they did, obviously, when they were winning in Washington. But it's a different situation.
Well, I mean, who was the coach? Was it Brian Harsin who came into Auburn?
Auburn.
Guy's rep was nothing like Kalen DeBoer. DeBoer has won everywhere he's been. He's built winning football teams. He's developed quarterbacks. So I think when you look at where he is, I think he gets it. You know, everyone's always he comes down to the South. He doesn't speak Southern. I mean, come on. It's Alabama. Kids want to go there. It's just like Georgia. So, I mean, I don't think it was like such a mountain to climb that some people in the media made it out to be. You have to look. You got to know which way the wind's blowing.
Sure.
You got to kiss the ring with Saban, and he did. But he's also got his own identity. Now he's got to maximize Milroe. How does he take his playbook and get Milroe to be more accurate and do better things, make better decisions? Because we know he's got the athleticism. We all get that. But that's why it's going to be interesting. Milroe's got the confidence. Hey, said what he said about Georgia. We all had fun listening to that. But how did you take it to the next level under Kalen DeBoer? I mean, it's a nice problem to have if you're him. Remember last year, for all the things that Saban accomplished, he didn't have a quarterback going into Labor Day. They benched Milroe.
No, this is the crazy thing. And they've got a great quarterback room. I mean, listen, you know about Milroe. Ty Simpson didn't go in the portal, so he's there. And then you talk about Austin Mack, who is one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the country. They have guys waiting in the wings. And I think for me, you know, when you talk about Milroe, Mike, he finished, I think, fifth or sixth in the Heisman last year. But we saw him in those big moments, especially in the playoffs and, you know, getting Alabama to that last game where you felt like all that stuff doesn't matter, man. This guy's a winner, and I think he's going to be better in this system because, Mike, they're getting the ball out of his hands. They're not asking him to hold on to it and use his athleticism to run and make plays. He can still do that. But getting the ball out of his hands is going to be key.
And then on the flip side, you know, what about Alabama's defense? Nick Saban was always hands-on, especially with the secondary. Athlon's got their breakdown, and it was pretty interesting. The new defensive coordinator who was at South Alabama, and he's got a relationship with DeBoer, he comes in to be the D.C., and he basically met with Saban and talked about the players that are returning and the fits and what makes the most sense, because Saban was kind of known for a 3-4, but in recent seasons, it's more of a 4-2-5. Well, anyway, Womack meets with him. As I said, the relationship between Saban and the coach. It's not like Saban's gone. As you said, he's still there, and you're right down the street from Brian Denny. So Alabama brings back a lot of big pieces on both sides of the ball. They're in a good spot. And DeBoer, like I said, this, even though he wasn't maybe not known to a lot of SEC coaches or SEC fans, I should say, until last year, this guy's good.
Yeah, good coach. Their D-line is going to be good. You know, I sent out a tweet yesterday and said, this is how you win. And it had the size of all the Georgia linemen,
right,
which, you know, they're on average, I think it's like 6'6", 340 pounds or something of that nature. The bottom line is all of these teams that have won, if you go back and look over the last decade, this includes Clemson too. Alabama, when they've been their best, had a great offensive line. Michigan last year, Georgia in the 2 years that they won it, Mike. And they had both, I think, the best offensive and defensive lines. I just feel like size matters, and when you start talking about overpowering some of these teams and basically you get to the fourth quarter, Mike, it's still about pounding teams. It's still about, as Kirby says, chopping wood. You got to be able to do those things. I don't need Carson Beck to throw the ball 40 times in the fourth quarter. let's pound people and own the time of possession. And I think Kirby's like, look, we're going to go get guys that we can do that with once again and control the ball and not have to worry about, hey, if we're up in a game, Mike, you know, we're throwing it and we're three and out.
Well, I mean, everyone was so worried about Bobo last year. Remember that? Remember freaking out about Bobo taking over as Monk and went back to the NFL?
That's right.
And I thought, you know, you could have beat Alabama. Yeah, there were some plays that maybe were missed, but Alabama's also a pretty good team. I just thought the defense, that SEC championship is known more for not being able to control Milroe than saying that Bobo screwed something up. And of course, Georgia fans will still talk about it, and deservedly so, maybe a missed drop from the refs. But the physicality's got to be there, and I'm with you. And we talked yesterday about Jahzir Jackson, 340, 6'10". I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that kind of size. The only question I had, Carl, is why is only a three-star, right? Coming out of San Diego.
Well, part of that probably is footwork and some of the work that he needs to become great as an offensive lineman. I don't think it has anything to do. His size is off the charts. The average offensive lineman size for Georgia right now, 6'7", 340. What's up, Bo?
I was going to say the basketball kid. Something like he played football up until like his middle school years, and he grew to be about 6'10", and he stopped playing football altogether and went to basketball. Mm-hmm. He moves really, really well, and he's got good ties, but I think just because he was three stars, just because of, one, he's 20 years old, two, his age, and two, the fact that he hasn't played football in a few years.
20, okay, not 18 or 19. Okay,
Coach Cyrils will get to work on him.
Yeah, listen, size, man. I mean, I always think, like, Mike, for me, I look at guys 6'10 like that. You're asking a lot. Listen, I know they're long in their reach, but guys that are strong and compact, you can get into guys like that and get past them. He's got work to do, but, man, the size of this line is crazy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, tell us what's going on with Florida State,
brother. All right, man. We know that there's a lot of legal wrangling, and the venue is always the key. If the ACC gets the ruling in North Carolina, it'll probably go for the ACC. If it's down in the state of Florida, it's probably going to be advantage Florida State, right? That's how it works.
Sure.
Well, one of the interesting parts is Florida State got a victory the other day, and here's where it gets a little interesting. FSU officials will receive an unredacted copy of six ACC multimedia agreements. Now, you'd say to yourself, doesn't every athletic director or president have this document at hand? The TV contract with the ACC.
You would think.
And ESPN,
you
right?
You would think, yeah.
Apparently, they treat this thing like the frigging Magna Carta. they keep it in like in a museum in England or something. But the way it goes down, the judge down in Tallahassee, the judge who ruled for them, says that they will get to look at this document so the lawyers can basically come up with a plan on how to get out of this agreement. The order prohibits any of the documents being provided to third-party competitors. In other words, you can't give it to other athletic conferences or media providers. Now, this is where it gets interesting. You're telling me it's not going to leak to Clemson and North Carolina and other people?
Sure.
Either way, I know a lot of folks, I'm not going to go too in-depth on this because it is confusing, but it seems like this was a win for most legal experts for Florida State to see if they can at least make a plan to get out of this agreement. First thing is you got to know what the agreement actually says, so that makes sense, right? And then if you take it down to the next conclusion is what happens if, and the story that I read from Sporting News says that basically Clemson and North Carolina are letting FSU do all the heavy lifting on this. And it's not just Clemson, but certainly North Carolina is very interested in joining the Big Ten. The only problem for Florida State is, not that they're a bunch of nitwits, okay, granted I got kicked out, but the academic standards aren't necessarily up at Florida State to what the Big Ten has had and as the member schools are about.
Well, it's always kind of been the discussion
right.
As to you're going to join, and this is they're snooty this way, and they can be, you're going to join our conference, what are your academic standards? It's years ago, Texas was asked about going to the Pac-12, and everybody said, oh, it makes sense because of the academic standards. Mike, North Carolina makes sense. I mean, it does. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but this is interesting. If you're telling me these attorneys and these lawyers are now going to be able to dive into this, right. It's only a matter of time.
Right. And the thing is you guys, broad strokes on this is the ACC's TV contract pays out a ridiculous amount of money compared to what? Like a UCF gets more TV money than a Florida State or a Clemson, which is just crazy. So the idea would be, Carl, if it ever did come up to the ACC just falling apart, Carolina State Legislature apparently would try to get NC State in a package deal to go to the Big Ten.
To go with them.
And then if you're... Where does this bring back to Georgia Tech? It just seems like the Big 12 would be the only other landing spot. And the Big 12 would pick up the rest of the pieces. I mean, guys, we're miles from that if it ever came to fruition. But it just seems like what would be a logical place for Georgia Tech to go if the ACC implodes?
Well, let me say this. Brett Yormark, who's the commissioner of the Big 12, they are at their media days. 16 teams. Remember, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado. They add to the conference. They lose Texas, Oklahoma to SEC, to the SEC. And Brett, who Mike and I have actually had on the show in years past before he became the commish for the Big 12. But he said, listen, we solidified ourselves as one of the top three conferences in America. He's right. They are. And, Mike, if this is to fall apart down the road, right. I think you're probably looking at something like that. They can continue to add if they want to. All right. We got a lot more to get to, guys. He's the talk of camp, and he's old. Huh. We'll tell you about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just feel like size matters. I never thought I'd be in studio talking with Mike about rain. He would be saying, I've got to walk home in this years ago, and right. now he's like, I need this for my grass. It's just a weird conversation. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in Midtown, and it is raining.
Right.
So we've been talking about the lack of rain that we've had. Listen, I don't want a hurricane, but we do need rain. And so I know it rained over the weekend, Mike, a couple of times. Well, we were happy about that, and then we just looked out the window, and it's coming down here.
I got my grass just hanging on for dear life, Carl. Hanging on.
Well, you have a water restriction.
Yeah, I know. We're all kind of sneaking some night water. Don't tell anybody. I just said it on the radio.
You did.
Never mind.
You did.
Well, everybody else is doing it.
What are you going to do, arrest me? They just might.
Shame.
A guy talk's coming up. We got some good stuff coming up in about 10 minutes. By the way, I got to tell you guys, because we had our summer games draft. I selected Abe as one of my participants on the team, along with Dylon and Joe Patrick. And I just got a text just to tell you about my team, Mike. I'm just bragging a little bit. My team, I've gotten a text from some of the members of the team, and they were like, we will be ready for competition.
Yeah, Carl won the coin toss right out of the gate. He took Joe Patrick. Now, again, this is amongst our producers. Now, some of our producers also do on-air stuff, and you hear Joe Patrick, of course, all the time, smoking Joe. That would have been my first pick, but my ace in the hole was Bo Johnson, who is
a good pick, man.
He's wiry. He's Cajun. He's a little crazy. And then I think the secret weapon, I got Day-Day. And Day-Day, of course, as we know, he's electrifying. And then I go with the plucky white guy, coach's son, works hard, you know, just can't quit. Great route runner, you know. And I just think that when you look at the squad and you feel, okay, who's got the guys got the greatest variety? I think I've got a more likable team than yours because you've got Abe Gordon on yours.
Yes.
But I've got Garrett Chapman. Everyone loves Garrett Chapman. Is literally like he's like Fix-It Felix from Wreck-It Ralph.
He's terrific. Listen, it's going to be a fun competition. We'll tell you more as we get out there tomorrow at Game Changers. But thank you for the text message. My team's ready to go. Hey, I'll tell you who else is ready to go. U.S. Men's Olympic team in hoops, Mike. You heard of this kid, Cooper Flagg? Have you guys heard of this kid? If you've not heard of him, you will.
Okay.
He is going to be a freshman at Duke. He was the Naismith Player of the Year coming out of high school.
Is this the kid at the scrimmage?
He's killing
it.
McDonald's All-American. And you're going to say, well, that's any Duke player, right?
Right.
This kid is different. I'm telling you, he's a killer. And he was eating up Team USA so much in these practices, Mike, that you had LeBron and Curry and all these guys like, the flag kid can really play.
Uh-huh.
He's 17 years old. So I only bring that up to say LeBron was voted the team's best player in camp. They've been in camp in Las Vegas for the last few days. They're going to play Canada on Wednesday. Is like their first match, or, you know, their first game. They've got 5 showcase games that they'll get themselves ready for actual competition over in Paris. But, Mike, LeBron's 39, and he was voted by all these other stars as the best guy that has been in camp for the last 4 days. What's this say about LeBron?
How cool. I mean, that LeBron's getting old?
Dude, 39? It shouldn't be this way. It should have been Ant-Man.
Right.
It should have been one of these other guys that we've been talking to. How does he go out there and play at such a level where all these other guys, his peers, are like, yeah, LeBron's probably best player out here this whole week?
Yeah, I know that LeBron, look, we all seen the TV commercials. We know the dude's in shape. You know, maybe 2 more years. That's kind of been the report out of L.A. They expect 2 more seasons for LeBron. All right, we'll see. I mean, look, he's certainly in tremendous condition. We get that. And he's well-rested because the Lakers were out early. But it's still, if I'm honest, I still think this dream team's going to mop the floor. Yes, we may get some tight games with France, you know, and there's some other Eastern European teams might give us some trouble. But I like the balance. You said it's size, defense.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny. We played the sound. Man, it all flows through me.
Yeah. I mean, y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it differently.
Y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it no differently.
I love, now again, did we ever establish any follow-ups on this, whether he was just screwing around or he actually does believe that. Because either way, I love it. You know, either way, it's funny. And, you know, I mean, they'll be busting his chops. But as we said earlier in the show, the dream team in Barcelona in 92, that was a special time because, you know, we were sick and tired of getting our butts kicked because, you know, everyone else in the world was using guys that were considered pros and we stuck with college kids. And if we're honest, John Thompson's squad and Seoul that year in 88 was nothing special when you look at it. So it was just something where we took it and it was captivating. And you remember, I watched that's of all the documentaries, the 30s, 30 for 30s and stuff, that's the one I just love. You know, Michael playing craps or like blackjack all night, then playing 36 holes with Chuck Daly, and then dropping 50 in practice.
It was nuts. I mean, these guys, and again, I don't think we're going to have an issue with winning the gold. We will be challenged along the way, but they're saying Mike Canada might give us the best run. They've got a bunch of NBA players.
You know who said he's ready?
Who?
Mr. Fake Tough Guy, Dylan Brooks.
Jeez. Oh,
Canada's ready.
Yeah, yeah. He's on the team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, SGA, if you didn't know, is on Canada's team. They've got some guys. Jamal Murray. They've got some players that could potentially challenge. But they're not as deep as we are. So Canada, they're going to play Australia and Serbia and South Sudan. These are all those showcase games we talked about to get themselves ready. But I'm just telling you, man, as much as we've been talking about the Lakers and LeBron and Bronny, all this stuff, LeBron goes and plays with all these stars, Mike, and at the end of a four-day deal, they're like, yeah, he's the best player here.
I don't care. He's old.
It's mind-boggling.
Well, I mean, whether that's just simply respect or just the fact LeBron, I mean, look, LeBron gets up for this stuff. That's why whenever we get into, you know, Michael played for Bobby Knight and he won Olympic gold, but LeBron in an era, and we did have some dips where some guys weren't exact. No one gives a crap about the FIBA championship. That's what Canada just won. We took a bronze. You know, I mean, the Olympic gold is what matters most, but LeBron gets up for these competitions.
He does.
And again, I think you take representing your country as part of your entire resume, and you can't argue with that. LeBron has always been ready to step up.
Yeah. It's crazy. 404-726-0929. By the way, Mike and I are done tonight at 6. If you're wondering, we do have soccer tonight with Atlanta United. They're going to take on Indy 11. That's U.S. Open Cup. It starts at 7, but the pregame is at 6. And Abe and actually Garrett will have the pregame for you. And then Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will have that match, as they'll call it for you tonight. But we had a great conversation with Garth Lagerwey. So 6 o'clock, we will be done with the pregame show, or done with the show for the pregame show. Meanwhile, Mike, as we will talk Falcons coming up at 5 o'clock, we got some guy talk on the way. Lots of folks talking about, you know, the big three on our team. And we got to talk about this because I do think we have a big three. The problem is we had a big two. I don't know if you guys believe in the three. We had a big two. We haven't necessarily had a big three. If the big three can live up to what we think they can be, Mike, this is the nucleus. This is the core that we're going to continue to build around. They're all still very young. We forget how young Pitts is. We're going to dive into that because some interesting things being said about our guys and our big three.
Yeah, I know that we've gone round and round about the quarterback position. If we can just protect Cousins, man, we'll talk more about it at 5. But all the guys, all the stuff that left you scratching your head the last couple of years should all come into – that's the thing. To me, like you could argue, we know what we've got here in Atlanta, but because we're Atlanta and because we've been stumbling around, we've had some just terrible quarterback play, the rest of the country probably is like, nah, whatever. Maybe they make the playoffs. Cousins hasn't won anything. I think it's a chance for like the coming out party. What we really, like, the defense to me is still the linchpin. I think this offense is going to be lights out. It's just good. All the potential is finally going to be reached with those guys, with Drake London, with Pitts.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the thing with the defense, man. What are they going to be? What is this edge rush? How are these corners going to handle it? We looked at the numbers yesterday, where all the teams that lead in sacks are always seem to be in the top 10 or 15 when it comes to turnovers, interceptions, because one goes hand in hand with the other.
They do. I mean, you look at the Chiefs last year, and it kind of plays into how the season played out for them and why their defense kept them in so many games. Listen, the Chiefs did not have this dynamic offense last year. We talked to our Chiefs guy the other day. They were good. They weren't great. This wasn't the Patrick Mahomes 50-touchdown year, Mike, a few years back when he was the MVP. Last year's Chiefs offense was okay, but they made the plays that they needed to make. The defense is what got them to the Super Bowl and what kept them in most of those games. By the way, just real quick, while we're talking about the Falcons and football, we mentioned this earlier, and it's just a story because of the Cowboys, but Dak Prescott spoke to the media. He was at his annual, you know, camp event in Texas. He said the whole boot thing was nothing. When they report on the 24th, so, Mike, and we're going to be up at Hooters for Falcons.
Why is he wearing it?
Well, that's the question. I don't think this goes away, and it's the same leg that he had that compound fracture in.
I mean, you know, if he was wearing like some crazy visor like Donald Sterling's girlfriend, it's a fashion statement. I mean, why are you wearing a boot on a boat dock? places I'm not wearing a boot.
Correct. You
know, unless he really takes his barefoot and seriously crawl when he's out there wakeboarding or
something. Well, he said they were going fishing and he wanted to stabilize his ankle.
Extra grip to get those marlins or whatever you kind of reel in there,
Carl. But that doesn't make sense. I mean, you've got, when you're on the boat,
you want two boots on that?
But when you're on the boat fishing, and if you got something on the line that big, they're going to hand the line over. Let somebody else take it.
Like, I mean, like, I know that it's, first off, it's the Cowboys. Everything gets magnified. Yes. It's Dak. And he's made, we were just talking about these contracts. If you're going to make this guy the highest paid guy, and I don't know what Jerry, I don't even think Jerry knows what he's going to do. My God. He needs to see a competency specialist. But getting back to Dak, you can give that guy all that loot, and you see a dude recreating with a boot on. That's a bit of a concern for this season, if nothing else.
All right, man. What do we got coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
Well, you just talked about a young college kid, a soon-to-be college kid, wowing the scrimmages in Las Vegas. What if I told you a 16-year-old just scored a goal in one of the biggest stages in soccer? How about that? We're getting to that story. Also, we picked our Ryder Cup captain, and a lot of folks think it's a really cool idea, and a lot of people think it's a really bad idea. We'll try to tell you what the experts are saying coming up next in Guy Talk on Dukes of Bell.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. Tomorrow, Carl, we are hitting the road. We're going to be at Lake Lanier.
Yes.
At
Game Changers.
We'll be there from 2 to 7, guys. We have picked our teams today amongst our pool of producers / on-air talent that were available for drafting. And we've got some interesting squads. You're going to be competing in all sorts of ranges of games of skill. And some require some degree of physicality. The axe throwing will be very intriguing.
Yes,
I'm very
will.
Curious to see where that one goes.
Yeah.
And if everybody comes back to work with all their digits and limbs.
Come on, Joe Patrick. I need you, Abe.
It's kind of a funny. There's a viral meme that is out there where Jason Momoa, I guess, is somewhere and he drinks like a pint of Guinness. He's got like the mustache from the Guinness. Turns around, throws the axe. Center cut.
Crazy. That's nuts.
Because he's that dude.
He is that dude.
Hey, by the way, speaking of him, he makes a cameo in a movie. You know, you and I, we hadn't talked about this on the air. Saturday when the rain was coming through, we hunkered down inside. My niece was visiting. I said, what movie do you want to watch? And it was still in theater, so we got it for pay-per-view, like $20. And it was The Fall Guy with, what's his name? Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Man, is that a fun, entertaining movie.
She's good, too.
Have you guys like seen that yet, Chris? Have you seen that, Chris, you saw it? Yeah, I thought the music, it turns out it's the same guy that did the John Wick and the Deadpool movies. That director who came up as a stuntman, friends with Keanu I thought it's great. So anyway, it's got some of the timing of like the Deadpool with some of the coolness and just total badassery and just and fun. I thought it was a kind of even one that like the guys will like and your girl will like as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. The action part of it, it was a nice mix of comedy and action. I like Ryan Gosling and I like Emily Blunt.
They're great in everything.
She is. She's married to. She's in Quiet Place. Is she in the new one? Yeah, John Krasinski. She's not in the new one.
In the new one. I just saw that though. Over
how
the
was
weekend.
That?
Phenomenal.
Okay,
probably
okay.
My favorite one in the whole series.
Yeah, right. This is the third installment. Yeah.
And this is where you see how everything happened.
Yeah, prequel.
All right. She's not in the third one. Yeah, because she was in the first two.
That's
that
Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, she's terrific. Mm. Okay, cool. Cool.
All right. So that video is good for you. By the way, I just posted a video with Mike Bell, ATL. Apparently there was, I don't know when this occurred, if this is in the last homestand or if it was just a night there was people just hanging out in the battery, but it was a little fracas. And a guy who's got some MMA skills, or at least some martial arts skills, drops his opponent. Somebody, my buddy Brandon posted it, and they got the Steve Inman play-by-play, the MMA announcer.
They dropped it in there?
It's at Mike Bell ATL. If anybody knows what the outcome is. I will say this. It is nice to watch a video that goes viral of a fight where somebody knows when the fight's over.
Sure.
And the dude who put the guy down, he's standing over him. He could like he could bounce his head off the concrete, pulls his punch, walks away. Fight's over.
Yeah, it's over.
You know, like Fight Club. Fight is over. It's over.
Mike, and that's the way it should be. Like, there's no reason to pounce on somebody. And we don't have no idea. I don't know what this
don't know
was about.
What started it, how it went down. But I know how it ended, and the video is up there. Hey, man, France is taking on Spain. If you're DVRing the Euro Cup and you don't want to know, hold your ears. Spain is leading 2-1 right now with a few minutes left. One of the interesting moments in this match is a kid who's been lighting up the Euros. He is a sensation. He is only 16 years old. Lamine Yamal. He has been amazing in this tournament, and he scores a goal, as Mike Conte would say, a galazzo. The kid was born in Rocafonda, which is up the road on the beach from Barcelona. to a father from Morocco and a mother from Equatorial Guinea. And what makes it even more interesting is once this kid started rolling for the Spanish national team, somebody found a photo from back when he was a little baby. Now, one of the sponsors for Barcelona, for those who follow soccer over the years, has been UNICEF. And so it was an ad campaign with babies from all over like the world and over Europe. And they used this young kid. And there's a picture of Lionel Messi with the kids in the bathtub with his mom. And then Lionel Messi's holding the baby. And that kid just scored a goal for Spain.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Full circle, man. That's wild. Yeah, right. I mean, and the kid's going to be, he's going to be great, right? He's very talented. Yeah. He's coming out. How old is he, you said? 16?
He's 16. What's the buyout on this kid, Chris?
So look it up. Yeah, he's a PSG offered like 250 million for him, and Barcelona was like, no. He has a 1 billion euro buyout.
Wow.
1 billion euro buyout. Carl.
So the future is bright for Spain. The kid's only 16. And if they can hang on to beat France, they'll take on the winner of the Netherlands and England.
Wow.
With a match which is going to be officiated by a guy who's accused of fixing a match in Germany years ago, who still gets to ref, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, that's how things work over there. Hey, man, speaking of Europeans, did you see what happened at Wimbledon? Novak Djokovic, he's taken on a dude whose name is Holger Rune. And the Rune fans are going, Rune! And Novak thought they were booing him.
But they were cheering this guy.
They were cheering this guy. And he literally goes off. He goes all ham in an interview. And it goes, do you have any questions other than the crowd? I mean, are you focused only on that? He goes, the reporter's like saying, hey, man. He goes, you realize they were saying Rune. He goes, this is rude. This is nonsense. Total disrespect. So it's just like.
And he broke his racket at his head, playing like it was a violin. Boom.
Total disrespect for me. Joke. No confession. Okay, whatever, dude. But anyway, if you want to find the audio, I don't know if there's cussing in it, but it's out there, the Novak video. We can pull it for you before we get out of here. But he's just losing it. Just totally losing it. And they're like, dude, they're not booing him. They're saying Rune. Yeah, thin-skinned Serbian.
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for the puh,
ha, puh, puh. Hey, man, Ryder Cup. I read two articles today from Golf Digest. Not Hak Tua. It was Hak Puh.
No.
That was more Iron Sheik. It was more Iron Sheik. It was more Iranian than Serbian.
Correct. That's exactly right. Yeah.
My Serbian morphed into Iranian. Serbia number one. USA. England. Ha Puh.
Yeah. There it is.
They were not saying boo. They were ruining. They were rune. So Keegan Bradley, he of the pedantic club-twisting takes-him-forever-to-hit-a-shot game. He has won the PGA Championship. He's got 6 tour victories. He was hosed 2 years ago from playing for the Ryder Cup team when Zach Johnson didn't select him. A lot of folks felt that was jive.
It was. It was.
Well, he is now the youngest Ryder Cup captain since like 1980-something. And a lot of folks are saying that this is a really interesting outside-the-box decision. Stuart Sink was still available to do it. Tiger said he's too busy because he's involved in the negotiations with the PGA and LIV, amongst other things. That was his excuse.
Right.
Phil has not been invited because Phil is with LIV. They're not going to talk to Phil anytime soon. So who was going to do it? So they go with Keegan Bradley, who's 4-3 in his career in the Ryder Cup. And a lot of folks think it's cool because you're getting out of the old boys network. Zach Johnson went with his guys, Justin Thomas, and a lot of guys who they got smoked. Remember, they got destroyed in Italy. So what do you think? You like the Keegan Bradley pull?
I do. I think, you just said it. We're talking about soccer and the U.S. men's national team. I think sometimes you got to do things differently. Listen, once Tiger turned it down, it opened up the door for a lot of guys potentially to take the spot and be the guy. I think Keegan Bradley has got enough attitude, Mike, that it fits where this team needs to go. And by the way, they're playing, Bethpage, I believe it is?
Yeah, Bethpage Black.
That's going to be insane. I mean, the last time it was here is in Wisconsin. I think it was during COVID, Mike, when it was here or right afterwards. And the point is, the crowds are going to be all about us. We need to embrace that, and we need to build on that energy. I think Keegan Bradley's a good choice. I really do. I mean, I don't know if you, unless you're a golf fan, Mike and I are hardcore golfers. If you're not a golf fan, you may not be familiar, and maybe it's easy to just have brand name recognition. He knows what he's doing, man. I think he's going to pick the right guys.
Well, I mean, the cool thing is they're saying is that maybe he vibes better with the younger golfers on tour.
I love it.
Now, they're not saying exactly Mr. Personality.
No.
But it was interesting. It's more about what happened when you had the Rome trip and Zach Johnson was the coach. Xander Schauffele, in an interview, says, I got to be honest, it was too much structure with the old thing with Zach, kind of the old boy network.
Right, right.
Have all these dinners, and he goes, it's just small things. I think there's 2 or 3 dinners we have to go to that are kind of mandatory-ish. I think we cut down on that. I think it'd be a really big deal. Let guys do their thing. It just seemed like it's basically all the wives too get together. You know how the wives are always front and center on this. It just seems like it's the most country club of country clubs.
It is.
Let's get some young guys who got some edge, kick some ass. Let's go get it.
Yeah.
The home team basically wins this. That's what it's turned into. And the Europeans always win in Europe, and we don't win in Europe anymore. This one's, as you said, going to be in Long Island.
Yeah.
Just get the win. I don't care how you do it. Get
I don't
the
either.
Win.
I don't either. And again, I love. This is one of those events I love watching. And the fans, Mike, they get after these guys. I mean, right. Yeah, that's the beauty of Ryder Cup. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Some dudes feel it was also part of Full Swing, the Netflix documentary, when he doesn't make the Ryder Cup team, and he's basically just devastated. So I guess it meant, you know, it showed it meant something to him. So there you go. Hey, man, one last nugget. Are you a McDonald's guy? So when was the last time you were in the Golden Arches? I know we talk a lot of fast food on this show.
It's been a minute. Can't lie. It's been a while.
Me too, man. When's the last time? Because it's back. I don't think I ever got this when it was out the first time. They're bringing it back. It's been a minute. The Smoky BLT Quarter Pounder with Cheese.
Okay. Okay.
Any of y'all had that?
I have not.
I didn't know it was a thing. So I don't know if this is just McDonald's marketing, but they're saying everyone's favorite sandwich is back.
Yeah.
But apparently bacon with a little bit of garlicky goodness, and they say it's a big hit for some. I missed the boat on it the first time.
What are they putting in Cane's is what I want to know. They just opened one up by 92, up by where we go to Taco Mac up
How
there.
Is it?
I haven't gone. I just, every time I pass by, it's like when they open Whataburger. It's packed. I'm like, what are they doing at Cane's?
Man, you know what? I still haven't had that?
That's my point, Mike.
The Raising Cane's? I still haven't had it, man.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on, but every time it's like three drive-thrus, there's cops out there waving people through.
Well,
what's going on?
Well, hey, man, whether it's Cane's or McDonald's or Whataburger, it all washes down great with the Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale and Watermelon Lime. Look for it.
Very nice. Hey, coming up, our big three. You don't think we have one? We do. We're going to talk about it coming up as part of our Falcon Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.